Amen. Happy Sunday. Hey, it's good to be together today. I want to give a quick shout out to our Fred campus, everybody watching online, and of course our Niwot campus. And today is not just any Sunday, right? I hope you guys know at this point that it is Mother's Day. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Let's give a round of applause to the moms in the room. I want to give a shout out to my own mom. Mom, I love you. I would say this, if you've got a mom to call today, do it. Do something nice for your mom. Go take a picture with her out in the lobby. I hope it's a great day for all the moms. But today we are kicking off the second week of our series called The Praying Messiah. And last week, Matt kicked this series off. He did a great job. If you missed that message for some reason, you should definitely go and check that out. But when Matt set up our series, he started talking about this idea of prayer and why prayer is important to us. And this is the reason. Prayer was important to Jesus. And I think if prayer was important to Jesus, prayer should be important to us, right? And this is the thing. Jesus didn't pray because he had to. Jesus prayed because he needed to. And Matt gave us this challenge last week. He gave us a challenge to go away, find a quiet place to be still, and every day this past week to pray for 5 minutes, just 5 minutes. And I hope that you guys found some time and some space to do that. And then he reminded us of this. He said, prayer is a relationship to be pursued, not a button to be pushed. And I think oftentimes when we approach prayer, we approach prayer like this cosmic vending machine. Matt talked about this last week. We show up in front of God and we say, hey, these are all the things that I want, all the things that I need, right? We start putting our requests in. This is what I want it to look like. This is my favorite thing. And our expectation is that he's just going to dump that out in front of us, right? We put it in. We want him to give exactly what we want. And when that doesn't happen, we occasionally can have this idea that, well, prayer doesn't work. God doesn't hear me. I'm not going to keep praying. And this is what I want to do today. I want to just give a suggestion. What if instead of approaching prayer like this cosmic vending machine, what if we approached prayer in a totally different way? What if we stood before God, the creator of the universe, the God of all things, and we actually stood in awe before him, and we approached prayer for what it is, which is this invitation from him to spend time with him. That's what it is. That's what he wants to do. And I'm with Matt last week when he talked about this idea of not being an expert on prayer, right? Our lead pastor of this place said he's not an expert on prayer. Can you believe that? It's crazy, right? But I totally agree. Just because we work at a church, just because we're a pastor, we're still learning, we're still growing. And I am no different in that. And I think for most of us in the room, as believers, as Christians, we could say the same. We struggle when it comes to this idea of prayer for some reason. And I sit in a lot of circles with church people, church staff sometimes, and we start asking the question like, hey, who wants to pray? Anybody raise their hand, offer to pray? And you know what starts happening? People start looking down. I don't want to make eye contact. Don't pick on me. Right? They start getting super uncomfortable. I mean, if right now at both of our campuses, I said, okay, at the end of this service, I'm going to pick out one of you. I'm going to take volunteers. And you're going to come up here and you're going to pray to close out our service. You know what I think would happen? I think some of you would leave early just to avoid that. I think some of you, when I started getting to that point, you would definitely start looking down, getting kind of shifty in your seats, right? For some reason, we don't want to engage in prayer in that way. And this is what I hear a lot of times. I'm not good at praying. I'm not good at praying out loud. I'm not good at praying out loud for other people. I just like to do that in the quiet. And there's a spot for that. But I think God asks us to do something different. And I totally get it, and I'm not going to ask anyone to come up here and pray at the end of the service. I'm not asking for volunteers, but I get it. Because prayer for me has been a journey. I mean, I didn't exactly grow up going to church every Sunday. Church was something that we kind of did off and on, and it definitely wasn't a relationship with Jesus. It was just kind of this routine, and so prayer wasn't out of relationship for me. I prayed probably in two situations growing up. One, when I was in trouble, right? I did the classic, God, if you get me out of this, I promise I'll never do it again. Anybody been in that boat? And the second one was the cosmic vending machine prayer. Like, hey, this is what I want. This is what I need. I hope you show up in that way. And not only did I just pray these two just very like specific ways, I also actually didn't know that God existed outside of the walls of the church. Like, I thought for him to hear you, you had to be in the building. And so just no background of prayer. And fast forward 20 years to being at Rocky in a relationship with Jesus. We got in our first small group. We were actually at a house just in South Longmont. I'll never forget this moment. And we have our group. We do our Bible study. We gather at the end, and our leader says, hey, tonight we're going to do something different. We're going to sit in a circle, and we're going to pray out loud. And we're going to just, you know, pray for the person to your right, that kind of thing. And I did exactly what I've been talking about, like got shifty, and I was like, ooh, I want out of here. And I said what we say, hey, I don't pray out loud. But instead of saying, it's okay, you can skip it, you know what they did? They said, today you do. And I was like, okay. And I did, and it actually changed the way that I prayed and the journey of prayer for me in that moment. That challenge changed me. And this is what I think. If the goal of us as Christians is to be more like Jesus, then that process should include imitating and living out his actions and his words on prayer. That's what we should do. Because as we pray, we become more like Jesus. We begin to see the heart and the mind of who Jesus is. And I love this quote from C.S. Lewis. It says, I pray because I can't help myself. I pray because the need flows out of me all the time, waking and sleeping. It doesn't change God. It changes me. See, our praying isn't for God's benefit. I mean, God doesn't need to know our needs and desires. He already knows them. He knows our past, our present, our future. He knows our inside, our outside. He knows more than we'll ever know about ourselves. But he still wants to be with us. He still wants to invite us into that relationship. So this is what we're going to do. Last week, Matt talked about Jesus going away, find a quiet place to pray. And this week, I want to talk about a different way that Jesus prayed. I want to talk about how Jesus prayed more for others than he prayed for himself. And did you know this? Did you know that there are actually no recorded instances in the Bible where Jesus prayed solely for his own desires and his own benefits? Isn't that crazy? I mean, we're good at that. And he never prayed that way. The closest he ever got to praying that way was in the garden. And it's crazy. And I think that you and I, we need to take some time this morning to talk about how we need to do that, how we need to be praying more for others. So this kind of prayer that I'm talking about is often referred to as intercessory prayer. And I say that, and some of you in the room just went like, that's a big, some Christian word. What does that even mean? And really this idea of intercessory prayer, it really just means kind of like standing in the gap. That's how you'll hear it referred to. And it's just this idea of praying for the needs, the concerns of others, putting others before yourself in your prayer. And I love the picture of the standing in the gap. It's really just standing next to or between someone and God and praying on their behalf, seeing their needs, seeing their desires, and being encouraged to take that to God and praying his will for their lives. When my kids were growing up, I had this long list of things that I would pray for them, and I would put it on our bathroom wall, and I would pray these things every day. You know, moms are good at this, right? We pray for their spouse and pray for their friends and pray for safety and all of those things. And I definitely had my list that I prayed for, but I prayed for this one specific thing. I would pray every day that when my kids were guilty, that they would get caught. And our daughter Cherokee, this worked on her. If you don't think God answers prayer, you can call her up. Her whole life, she would do one thing, 30 seconds, caught. One thing, 30 seconds, caught. She's 30 years old, and she'll still call me to this day, and she'll be like, you can stop praying that now. I've had enough. To which I say, you can stop doing things wrong, right? But for real, this is what I love about Jesus. He never stops praying for us. Not only did he pray for his followers on earth, what he's doing right now is he's continuing to pray on our behalf to the Father. And Romans 8:34 says this, who then is the one who condemns? No one. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. That's what he's doing for us. He did it here for his disciples, and he's doing that for us now. And I want to turn to John 17. We're going to hang out there for a minute. And John 17 is one of the most powerful examples of intercession in the Bible. And it's Jesus is praying in this moment. He's praying for his disciples, and he's praying for several things. He's praying for spiritual growth and maturity, but he's praying also for protection and for unity. And I just want to set the stage for a minute, because Jesus is right on the brink of his crucifixion in John 17, and he stops to pray. And I know for a lot of you, you're like, well, yeah, I mean, that was an intense moment, right? We all have intense moments in our lives, and what do? We pray a lot of the time. And I would say this, sometimes even non-believers, when they have some intense moment, crisis in their life, they'll say, hey, will you pray for me? And they don't even know what that means exactly. So we go to prayer in those times, and Jesus is in that moment. It's intense, and he stops to pray. But it wasn't just that he stopped to pray. It was the kind of prayer that he prayed. Because in that moment, Jesus doesn't pray for himself. He has this heartfelt plea to the Father. Jesus begins in that moment praying for his disciples. He's praying for everyone who will come to believe in him. That means he's praying for us. On the brink of his crucifixion, in this intense moment, Jesus is praying for us. And I love that prayer is also, he's saying that prayer in front of his disciples. And it's just showing in that moment the depth of his love, the depth of his desire for unity among his followers and among us. So I'm going to turn to John 17. We're going to pick up in verse 11, and it says this. It says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name you gave me. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. And notice the emphasis in this part of the passage is on protection. I mean, Jesus in that moment, he's not praying for wealth and comfort. He's praying for protection for them. He knows that he's about to leave. There's going to be hard things, trials, temptations for them coming up. And he begins praying for their protection. And then he further qualifies when he says, hey, I was with them. I've been here with them. I've been protecting them in that way. But now I'm about to go away. His physical presence is going to be leaving. And he's praying for this spiritual connection, this spiritual presence with them. And if we go to John 17, 20 through 22, it says, I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me through their message. That means he's praying for all of us. I pray that they will all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, I am in you. And may they be in us so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me so they may be one as we are one. I mean, Jesus has prayed for protection, and now he's praying for unity. He's saying that they would be one, just as the Father and he are one. That's what he's praying for in this moment. And if we go on to verse 23, it says, I am in them and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Father, I want these whom you have given me to be with me where I am. Then they can see all the glory you gave me because you loved me even before the world began. Jesus is in this moment, he's praying for the church to be unified. And not just for the sake of being unified, he's praying for the sake of those who are going to come to know him. And that word unity in this passage, he's not talking about just some superficial thing. It's not just some buzzword in our culture. We have these buzzwords. We talk about unity. That's not what Jesus is praying for in this moment. He's praying for unity in a different way. It's the foundational principle of our faith. He's praying for unity amongst his followers, modeled by the unity that he has with his Father. And this just isn't about a conformity, about doing the right thing, about agreeing. This is a different kind of unity. He's saying, hey, I want you to embrace all your diversity, all your differences. I mean, we all have a different story. We come from different backgrounds, right? But we're rooted, we're bonded in this thing called Jesus, the love that we have for him. And that's what he's calling us to. This deep bonded unity because of our trust in Jesus. And I love that. And then we go to Luke 22, Jesus models intercession for us again when he's talking to Peter. I mean, he's just had the Passover supper with the disciples, and he's standing before Peter, and he knows that Peter is getting ready to deny him. And Jesus says this in Luke 22, 31 and 32. He says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift each of you like wheat. But I have pleaded in prayer for you, Simon, that your faith should not fail. So when you have repented and turned to me again, strengthen your brothers. Now just imagine for a minute being in Peter's shoes. I mean, Jesus standing before Peter, and he's basically telling him, like, hey, you're about to have some things that are going to happen in your life, right? You're about to have some trials. Some things are about to happen. And he's telling Peter in that moment, I'm praying for you right now. Meanwhile, Peter's still standing there like, I'm not going to deny you. None of that's going to happen. He has no idea. And I think often we can relate to Peter. We've got struggles. We've got things in our life. Satan is trying to lead us astray, make us doubt, walk away from our faith at times. And in those moments, Jesus sees all of that, sees it before we even know it, and he's praying and interceding on our behalf. And then he says this. He tells Peter, hey, when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. What is reminding Peter and what he's reminding us is in the midst of our own battles and our own crud and our own struggles and all the things that we go through in life, when we get in that spot where we're praying for our own needs and our desires, he's reminding Peter and he's reminding us, go back and strengthen your brothers. Go back and pray for the people that you are unified with, right? The body of believers. And this is what I love about both of these passages. Not only do they remind us of this idea of unity and protection, it just reminds us of the vital role that Jesus plays in our life. I mean, he stood in the gap for us. Obviously, when he went to the cross for us, he's our Savior. But beyond that, he intercedes for us. He stands in the gap for us. He's our strength of our source of strength and support during all those battles. And he calls us to be that for one another. So how do we put this into practice? I think a couple things. I think it starts with just showing up every single day and living out the mission that we have at this place. which is to know Jesus and to love like him. It starts by knowing him and loving like him. It starts by choosing forgiveness over bitterness, compassion over apathy, humility over pride. It starts by showing up in this place and being part of a community, being for each other, for the sake of those who will come to know him. That's what it looks like, supporting each other in our journey of faith. It starts by committing to fostering unity, not the buzzword unity, the real unity, the foundation of our faith, by praying for each other the way that Jesus prayed for us, by lifting each other up. So what do? We pray for others as Jesus modeled and instructed us to do. And there's a long list in the Bible of things that we are to intercede for, people that we are to pray for. And I'm just going to give you a short list today. In 1 Timothy 2:2, it says, pray for all of those in authority. Pray this way for kings and all who are in authority so that we can live peaceful and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. In James 5:14, it says, pray for the sick. Are any of you sick? You should call for the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. In Matthew 5:43 and 44, it says, pray for your enemies. You've heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. In 1 Timothy 2:1, pray for all men. It says, first of all, I ask you to pray much for all men and give thanks for them. In Colossians 4:2 through 5, it says to pray for the church and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Like I said, this is just a short list of the ways that we're to pray. And the Bible is clear about this. Intercessory prayer, praying for others, it's for all Christians. It's for all of us, all believers. We all have the gift of the Holy Spirit. We have everything that we need to pray and intercede on behalf of others. And I think sometimes in Christian culture, we have this idea when we talk about this word, intercessory prayer, that that's just put aside for some special elite group of people. Like you gotta be special to actually pray for somebody, for intercede for somebody. And actually, I don't know about you, but when I'm in a place where I need people to pray for me, I don't want just this elite group of people praying. No, I need all the help I can get. I want everybody praying for me. And with so many examples in the Bible, I mean, Peter and Paul, they were no different. When they were asking for people to intercede, they were asking everyone. It wasn't just some special request to some special group of people. I mean, Acts 12:5 says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. It was the whole church that was praying on his behalf. Not just those with the gift of intercession. And Ephesians 6:18 says this, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. That's what we're called to. And I think about my journey of prayer, my experiences of praying for other people. And there's times that that's been really hard. And I have people in my life that are hard to pray for. But you know what God has revealed over and over in my life? Is that when I take my eyes off myself, my own needs, my own desires, and actually pray for someone else, not only does he do something in their lives, he actually changes my perspective. He does something in my life. And Timothy Keller says this. He says, prayer gives us relief from the melancholy burden of self-absorption. I think we get really comfortable praying for our own needs, that cosmic vending machine approach. But I think we could work on praying for the needs of others. So what do? We pray. We pray continually. Don't stop praying for your family. Don't stop praying for your kids. Don't stop praying for your community, for our country, for provision, for revival. Don't stop praying for those things. Don't stop praying for hope, for forgiveness, for our schools, for each other. We pray continually. And this is what I want to do. Last week, Matt gave a challenge, 5 minutes every day to be still and pray. And this week, I want to add to that. Who are you going to pray for this week? At least one person on your list. And not only that, I think we all have the opportunity through the week, you know, you bump into somebody and they're going through something really hard and they're telling you about it and they say, will you pray for me? And you know what we do? We say, yeah, I'll pray for you, and we walk away. So my challenge for you this week is this. Don't walk away. Pray for them right then. And for some of you, it's maybe the first time that you're going to pray out loud for someone in that moment. I challenge you, do it. You won't regret it. For some of you this week, you need to ask somebody to pray on your behalf. You have something that you need help with that you haven't shared. Let somebody stand in the gap for you this week. Maybe for some of you, you've never prayed and you're sitting in this room and you're like, I don't even know how to pray. That's okay. There's no magic words. All you got to do is start talking to God. And that's your challenge for this week. So as we wrap up today, I just want you to take this truth with you. Praying isn't just about talking to God. It is that. But it's more than that. We have this opportunity as believers to partner with what Jesus is doing, to intercede for others. And it's an amazing opportunity. And this week, I want us to just not be talkers. I want us to be doers. I want us to be a church. I want us to be Christians who stand in the gap with people we love, with people who we don't know, people who are going to come to know him. That's what he's called us to. So this week, show up. Do something you haven't done when it comes to prayer. Put a new routine in your life. And this is actually what I want us to do together right now. I want both campuses to stand. And I'm going to pray for us in just a minute. But before we do that, I'm going to just take a minute. You don't have to come up here and pray. You don't have to pray out loud. But I want to take a minute before I start praying. Just 60 seconds. For some of you, it's going to feel uncomfortable. But maybe in this moment, maybe this is the moment that you pray for somebody for the first time. So let's take 60 seconds. Let's pray. And then I'm going to end. Pray for you guys. Thank you. God, thank you for who you are. God, that you as the creator of the universe, creator of all things, God, that your biggest desire around this idea of prayer is that you just want to invite us to spend time with you, to be in relationship with you. So God, I pray today as we just continue to hear your word, that you would give us that heart, that desire to pray as you pray. God, that we would find that quiet place. God, but that we would be a church, that we would be Christians who stand in the gap for other people, God. who pray on behalf of people who maybe can't, God, who need help, that we would be united in that, God, for the sake of those who will come to know you. So God, we're thankful today to be together, to come into this place to worship, to hear your word. And God, I pray as a church, I pray as we go outside the walls of this place, God, that we would show up. God, that we would see people in need, that we would intercede. So God, thank you. God, I pray over this, pray all of the people here in NIWAD, in Fred, online, God. Pray on their behalf today. I pray this in Jesus' name.